Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hey, 5 Tribe. Today's episode is called Why Resolutions Don't Stick, and it's coming out. We're recording this right as the new year is starting, and whether it's New Year or any other time of year, often our resolutions, these goals that we set as a one-time thing at the start of the year, don't seem to take hold the way we would like. So we're going to explore that and give you some strategies to actually have them stick this year. I'm Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited about this because you and I have made a ton of progress in this over the years. Mm-hmm. And it's been really, really beneficial for us to just lean into the strategies that we're going to talk about. I think the first thing is really just to understand that it's not a you problem. I mean, millions of people go through this every year, and millions of people consequently, quote unquote, fail every year. Yeah. And it sucks because you don't really want to do it. And by mid-January, we're all looking at everyone going like, did yours take? No. Did yours? No. What's wrong with me? It's kind of like that icky feeling that we're left with. Can you relate to this at all, Catherine?
Yeah, of course. I think that people are so hard on themselves. But I think what a lot of people miss out on is that you have to have some strategy. And the main reason I see that New Year's resolutions fail is because people go too hard. You know, like they go too big and too vague, too generalized. Like, this is the year I'm going to lose weight. It's like you and everyone else who made New Year's resolutions. Like, it has to be way more granular and specific. Because once you feel like you're accomplishing something and you're doing something, it will go from there. You got to push the rock first for it to start rolling. So don't go so hard, everybody. The bigger you go, the more broad you go, the more likely it is that it's probably not going to work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you need to just dial it down. Really, like, is I think everybody, New Year, or they go to a seminar or whatever it is, they have a weekend retreat and they get pumped and they think their whole identity is going to change immediately. And if the environment hasn't changed, you're not going to change. But yeah, we want to switch everything overnight. And if we're really, really honest, if you changed everything the way your resolutions were overnight, you would be like, you would think you entered the Twilight Zone or something creepy, because it would be such a change that your nervous system wouldn't know how to handle it and you would revert back right away. So Catherine's advice to just, dial it down and get granular with it is so key for all of this.
Yeah. I mean, we love setting big, audacious goals, but we never just set the goal. We always set multiple steps in between now and the goal. So let's say you want to pay off $50,000 debt. That's your big audacious goal. It honestly should be, I want to make $500 extra in January to put towards my debt. and then you sell a bunch of stuff in your house or you do a couple door dashes or whatever it is you want to do. But $1,000 is like your brain cannot wrap itself around it. So by all means, we're not saying to not set big goals. Have them. We love it. We love a big goal. But break down that goal into so many little tiny bite-sized pieces so that you can feel accomplished, which will let you move on to the next piece.
That's exactly it. I think another thing that with like this resolution myth that we talk about, we all think change is supposed to be like this instant, dramatic, kind of total, you know, extreme makeover type of resolution style. And it just isn't right. It's not right for anyone, I don't think. I mean, yeah, some people make really big changes. Typically, those come from life-threatening type events, right? Like you get a diagnosis, you get told something, you have some sort of pivotal event. Waking up on January 1st is rarely the pivotal event for everybody in the world to make their change. And I'm speaking from this as one of the people that's in this world that has tried this many, many times. So I think one of the biggest things to just let you know is that change driven by shame rarely survives stress. And when you can think of it like that, I'll repeat that again. Change driven by shame rarely survives stress, because the second you have some stressor in your life, you know, if you're going to give up junk food, let's say the second you have like a late night or it's Saturday night or a stressful moment at work, and you reach for that candy bar, the chips, the whatever, you haven't accounted for like these stressors that are very normal in our lives, but we seem to think we're going to just be the superhero that powers through that. And while some of us can do it, most of us can't. And I think that's a really important distinction to make.
There is a very small segment of the population that has the ability to create motivation for themselves and stick to it. I'm trying to think of what the book is. I think it's Gretchen Rubin. There's like four personality types, and only one of them will actually create tasks and stick to them for themselves. Another personality type on there is an accountability personality type, which is what I have. If I'm accountable to someone, I will get something done, but I have a very hard time being accountable to myself. So a big part of keeping your New Year's resolutions is to be honest about who you are. And this is not a shame thing. This is not a, oh, I'm a procrastinator, let me think bad things about myself. This is a know yourself so well that you know how to accomplish the goal you want to accomplish. So I know that if I say I'm going to quietly lose 20 pounds this year and not tell anybody, that will never happen. But if I go to Andrew and I say, this is what I want to do, I need help with accountability, this is what I need check-ins, I need something, let's text each other every time we work out, far more likely for me to accomplish the goal. So you got to look within yourself and be honest with yourself about who you are as a person and use that to your advantage.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you need to know thyself, right? Like that's the big thing is if you need accountability like Catherine does, go find accountability with someone. If you're one of those rare people that just can say, no, I'm going to exercise every day. I don't need to tell anyone. I just know I can do it for me. That's great.
Good for you.
Good for you. We all strive to be like you, and not all of us can be, unfortunately. Let's talk about the real reasons why resolutions fail. I think there's some good things in here that knowing these as we go into the year or whenever we want to set a resolution are really, really useful. The first thing I would say, we talked about being too big and too vague. I would say the next one is, are you doing this resolution out of excitement or self-criticism? And I would say most of the time I have done things out of self-criticism. I don't, you know, want to lose weight because I'm excited to lose weight and be healthy. It's kind of more of a, you know, got a little chunky monkey around the waist here and I'm kind of hoping it disappears. And that is just self-criticism. So, you know, try to find something that excites you because that will naturally propel you to want to do it.
Ooh, I think that's a really, really good thing for sure. I think that the motivation behind it is so important. And speaking of motivation, I mean, we talked about like knowing yourself and paying attention to who you are as a person. But remember that it's action leads to motivation. Motivation doesn't lead to action. This was a really important thing I learned many years ago. It continues to be the hardest thing. very rarely are people just naturally motivated to do something, especially something that will bring like physical pain, like working out or going on a long run. Very, very rarely. So you have to know that if you're waiting for the spark and the motivation, that is not going to come until you take action. That is the hardest thing about this, but it's so true.
It is. And yeah, motivation is great when you have it and awful when you don't. And that's why you need to find systems that are going to work. Motivation fades, systems stay. And a system of any kind is going to carry you through those hard days. It's going to carry you through the work. If you're somebody's like, I'm going to work out every day. On day two, when you wake up and every square inch of your body is in pain because you haven't worked out for a couple of years, kind of like how I'm feeling today, if I'm being really honest, from that workout yesterday, you know, like you need a system in place to do it because motivation and your brain is checking out. It's going like, nope, we tried this. It did not feel good. So having the system, having the, you know, I just need to be active today. My system is to walk the stairs every day at work. That's a system. That is, you know, I'm just somebody who takes the stairs. And that also, those systems then can kind of tie into identity, which is a real, it's really why a lot of resolutions fail is because you haven't shifted who you are at your core. And when you are somebody that's going to try to work out every day, and we'll just use the workout one, I think, because it's so,
everybody's like this. Yeah, it's just the most common one. Yeah.
Yeah. But when you're somebody who's like, I'm going to try to work out every day, the second you say try, your brain knows you're not going to do it. But if you say to yourself, I am somebody who works out every day, and you start to create this identity, and how you define workout can be as literally as like, I am going to plank for as long as I can every day. And if that is 1 second because I'm in pain from yesterday or the day before, I'm still working out. That's how you build a new identity, is with having that system in place. You know, every morning I get up, as soon as my feet hit the floor, I do 10 jumping jacks. And I'm somebody who exercises every day. That's creating a new identity. And I wish I had known this a long time ago, because I really ignored that part. I just figured it was going to be willpower and everything. But identity is a really key thing, especially when it comes to your goals.
Yeah. And I would say along those lines is to have acknowledgement that life will happen and sort of have a plan B. So acknowledge that there's going to be days where you're sick. There's going to be days where you get bad news. There's going to be days where something comes up unexpectedly at work and you're in meetings super late. And you need to have a contingency plan for that. Again, if you're trying to save money, let's say, and you're trying to not order DoorDash as your New Year's resolution, always having a frozen pizza in the fridge is your contingency plan. You may want to make at-home healthy meals all the time, but that is you saving yourself. Same thing with working out. You want to become somebody that works out and builds muscle and, you know, loses inches and all this stuff. You need to have a 10-minute stretch routine that you can do even if you like have the flu and you sit up in bed and you touch your toes, right? It's like whatever it is, have your contingency plan. Because what happens is if you don't do it or you miss a day or something like that, the self-critical voice kicks in and then you start beating yourself up and it's going to make you not want to do it.
I like that. I like that a lot. Just having contingencies for these types of things goes a long, long way. Such good advice. The other thing that the other reason why resolutions fail, and we kind of touched on this before, was with the big goals, but there can be an overwhelm. Overwhelm triggers avoidance. Repeat that again. Overwhelm triggers avoidance. When you feel overwhelmed with anything in your life, it gives you analysis paralysis. You sit there, you don't do anything. And it's the same thing with your goals. So while we would all love to, you know, look a certain way, be a certain way, change our attitude, make more money and do all these countless things, when you have so many goals, it just overwhelms you and your nervous system fights back and goes, I can't do this. So I'm not doing anything. I am going into freeze mode right now because you have overwhelmed me from the beginning. So to combat that, it's like what Catherine said, you start small. You find that little thing that you're going to do every day and you build from that. And that's a really important reason for allowing yourself to grow into something.
Are you feeling incredibly overwhelmed and burned out and like you aren't even sure what to do with the rest of your life? We absolutely understand, and we've been there. That is why Andrew and I are starting a coaching program called 5 Weeks to Future You. We'd love to tell you more about it. We're actually offering free calls so that you can meet us, chat with us, and learn about our program and our framework so you can see if it's the right fit for you. Just go to 5yearyou.com and schedule a call. We are only going to accept 5 people at a time to make sure you get all of the attention you need. So if it's something you're interested in, please set up a call as soon as possible. And we're really looking forward to meeting you.
Look, I know we all want to be this perfect version of ourselves, but that's why it's called 5-year you, not tomorrow you or today you, because that version of yourself is a seed and you grow into it every day by taking little actions that honor this future version of yourself. So if you try to do everything at once, we've had clients that are like, I'm just going to do everything.
Yeah.
You know,
a week.
It is. It's a week later, they're feeling like they failed. And the goal here is to set yourself up for success. So create that identity around who you are and start to take small daily actions towards it. And once that first action becomes a habit, then you go to the next step and you can do that and then keep building. But be gentle with yourself. You got a whole life to be the best person that you want to be. Just give yourself that small step. It's much easier that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about all the things that don't work or why resolutions tend to fail for a lot of us. And we have sprinkled in a couple of pieces of advice of how to reframe it or how to work around it. So I want to speak really directly about what actually works as a way to like end this on a positive note. So here's what actually works. Like we said, start smaller than feels necessary. Don't go so hard. You're not less of a person or not as ambitious if your goal is small. The small goal makes you more likely to achieve it, which then creates the motivation, which helps you to keep conquering bigger and bigger things. And if you have to miss a day, that's fine. I think the book Atomic Habits says try not to miss 2, right? As long as you get right back on the horse, 2 days max, you have not broken the habit, you have not broken the resolution, and give yourself a lot of kindness for getting back towards your goal.
I love that. Another thing I would say with that is to focus on who you're becoming, not what you're banning. So choose the direction, not the rules. And with doing that, it's about becoming that healthier version of yourself. So a healthier version eats healthier, but you might also be having some bad foods at the same time. And that's okay because you're taking progressive steps towards this new identity. And when you can move towards that identity and align yourself more with that identity every day, you reinforce those neural pathways of being that new person, which helps you create a new version of yourself.
I love that. And one of the techniques that we love to do here at 5-Year You and we teach our clients is we ask them to think of the future version of themselves. And so whenever you're doing something, I'll give you a really easy example. At nighttime, when I don't want to do the dishes, I think about the future me of the next morning who is going to be so happy that I did the dishes. She's going to wake up and be like, ah, thank you, me of last night. That's a really small, easy example. But when you have these big goals, think of future you. We so often do goals for other people or for other reasons. And this is a real paradigm shift to say, I'm doing this for future me. I'm doing this for the me that's going to look back at the end of this year and keep that person in your mind. Oh, I don't want to work out today. I don't want to do this run today. Future me is going to be so happy that I did it. Do it for yourself and kind of have that image in your mind. And I think that goes a long way too.
I love that. Yeah. Having that identity-based habit of I am someone who does the dishwasher every night is way better than I'm a person who keeps the house completely spick and span every day and has a speck of dust anywhere. And I think
I've
when you
never
can
made
start,
that resolution never.
And nor should anyone, in my humble opinion. But I think that with exercise is this one that everybody comes to is like, if you say I'm someone who moves daily versus I have to work out, that's an identity-based habit, right? You're someone who moves daily. Having to work out is like saying you have to go get an enema every day. You're not going to look forward to it. You're not going to enjoy it. And you're probably going to stop doing it after the first time because saying you have to means that it's a punishment. That's how it registers in your brain. So I get to move daily. I'm someone who moves daily is the identity that we want to focus on.
I love that. And, you know, as a final thing, we always like to encourage people to be kind to themselves. Make those contingency plans for the hard days. Be gentle. Treat yourself as though it was the person you love the most in the world came to you and said, ugh, like, I haven't done this thing for 2 days, or I made a mistake here. Talk to them like you would talk to your loving spouse or a child that you love so much. Treat yourself with that kindness and compassion that you give to so many other people, and tell yourself that you're going to get back on it tomorrow. Future you is going to be so proud of you. And just keep that very vocal ongoing relationship with yourself. And I truly believe that that mental shift can make the difference between you keeping and not keeping your resolution this year.
I love that. So I think the last part is to just redefine success for yourself. And I think you need to find a new metric, right? Whatever that might be. So having something like, you know, showing up imperfectly counts is a good one. You know, showing up is I'm the person that shows up is much better than not. Remember that pausing doesn't erase progress. Just because you have to stop because of, you know, maybe you've been injured or something's come up that doesn't allow you to do your daily habit, that doesn't erase all the progress you've had this year. So allow yourself to just pick back up. And also kind of along that line is that rest can be part of your consistency. You're allowed to have rest days when it comes to exercise. Your body needs to recharge. And as we get older, sometimes that takes a little bit longer than it used to. So speaking very personally from that one.
Well, I hope this has been helpful. Remember, you don't need to overhaul your entire life this year. Just choosing a small thing can dramatically improve your life, even if it's 1%. It's a very positive change, and it can be something that's good for you and your family. You don't have to save humanity this year, but if you do one thing slightly better, then I think it's worth it.
I love that. Very, very well said. So, Catherine, what's your glimmer this week?
Well, maybe our glimmers are the same. I don't want to presume anything. But if you're new to our podcast, at the very end of the show, we share something that is just sparkly and happy. And I'm happy because as soon as we stop recording, you're going to get on the airplane to see me.
Yes, I am. And that was my glimmer. So yes, we could have said it at the same time, but that would have been really embarrassing if I had said that and you had said ice cream or something else. So, you know, I'm really grateful that we got to record this episode. I'm literally going to leave the studio right now and head down to the airport, and I'll see you in a couple of hours.
Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, likewise. Well, thank you very much for listening. And remember, you've got this. Resolutions might not always stick, but now you have the strategies that you need to move forward. And we are with you every step of the way.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.